The Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. How recently and how much have we felt like we've really missed out on things? Of course, sometimes when we miss out on something, it's because we had something else we needed to do. You know, we had a vacation or job opportunity. Those kind of opportunities missed, I think, aren't too disappointing. It was just a hard choice. We had to make it. But too frequently, what we've been missing out on was not because we had to choose between one good thing and another good thing, but instead, missing something because we didn't have another obligation, we just missed it. During this pandemic, I think we've missed so many things in the lives of the people we care about. We've missed celebrations, weddings, funerals. I really feel for especially students who've gone through this. Any number of students who graduated in the year 2020 and missed their senior year of high school and all the social aspects that come with that. And those of you with young children in your extended family probably know what I'm talking about most. In my family, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and when we do a Zoom meeting with larger relatives and all, they all get together, it's always, "When did Iris get so big? Right? How is she talking so well? How indeed is she so agile that she's able to climb on the table and turn off the Zoom?" They missed all of that because we just haven't been able to get together very much. And that feeling of missing out can be really hard. It can feel really discouraged. We just wish we could have been there, could have been through that, been with that person. And it's not like we can go back and do those things again. We just missed it. And you can get so discouraged. Let me ask you, though, about something. Do you ever feel that way about Jesus and his ministry? It might be a sort of odd question to ask, but do you ever feel like you just kind of missed out by not being there in the first century in Palestine? We read of the amazing works of Jesus and the experience of what it would be like to hear him teach and preach, and the personal challenge it would have been for us to accept it, and Jesus' accepting of us anyway. We continually read through this, but we're not there. We didn't get to see that in person. We just have to imagine. And we come to our gospel reading today. And I don't know about you, but for me, this is a really hard reading. We have Jesus sounding really harsh. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, because it's better to live life missing a hand than have two hands going to hell. Similarly, those missing a foot or an eye. I think most of us are pretty shocked when we hear that. What's Jesus saying? How perfect do we have to be? If we sin in anything? If we err at all against ourselves, against other people? And as Jesus expands the obligations of the law, if we even contemplate sinning in our heart, do we cut out our heart? I mean, where are we going, Jesus? What is this about? We all sin all the time. The reason we do our confession and remembrance of baptism is that the power of sin in the world has enclosed us and continues to cause us to sin. We all sin. And now Jesus is saying, if you sin at all, you're doomed. But I'd like you to think about what Jesus says here from a different perspective. Rather than this being about a warning to the disciples to be some kind of realistic plan for perfection, think about what he's just said. Those missing a hand, those missing a foot, those missing an eye. In the first century, Jesus' audience would have been full of people who fit that description. The poor, the marginalized, the disabled, the weak. They wouldn't have heard Jesus' saying to them, they'd better be perfect or else they might lose a limb. They'd already lost the limb. They were already weak. They were already imperfect. And of course, there's another thing about these disabled people he'd mentioned. All those ailments are precisely what Jesus has been going around healing. Those with the withered hand, those with the lame foot, those who were blind. The group who was rushing to Jesus in desperate hope that they'd heard about this person who could heal them. May not have known a lot more about it, but they came hoping. And there's something about this section in Mark you might not realize. Jesus, after this, for the most part, won't do any more works of power. He's going to heal one more person. He's not going to drive out any more demons. Instead, Jesus is going to turn to Jerusalem to suffer, to be crucified and die. He will, of course, rise again, but our gospel only mentions that. It doesn't have a long narrative. And what's more, he'll be ascending to heaven shortly thereafter. So what about all these people in the crowd? All those with those disabilities rushing to Jesus, hoping to heal him. And of course, with that one exception, Jesus isn't going to heal them. Had we gotten here earlier, they might have said, Jesus could have done this for us. But now, have we just missed out? We were too late, and now we're out of luck. The disciples would also be asking a few questions themselves. They'd been following Jesus, and while they were following, in fact, they were empowered to go do some works of power. They were driving out demons and doing healings. Though the last time we hear about them trying to do that, it's when they fail to do that. They try to drive out a demon, and it doesn't work. They have to bring the person to Jesus. And then we're told at the beginning of our lesson, there's someone going around that they don't know successfully driving out demons and doing healings. They try to stop that person. They didn't like two things about him. One, he wasn't part of their group. And two, he seems to be successful right where they're not. They were failing to drive out demons, and this person, whom they've never met before, can do it. That can't be right, can it? And not only is it the case Jesus doesn't do any more healings, neither do the disciples. They don't heal anymore. The Jesus' disciples have been following him around for 3 or 4 years and have watched Jesus do these powerful things, and they were doing them. But now they're not going to see that anymore. What does that mean? Have they missed out on this aspect of Jesus? And Jesus is preparing the people. He's just announced twice, and of course they still don't get it, but just announced he's going to go suffer and die. He isn't going to be simply a wonder worker, but something bigger is going on. But what about all those who liked Jesus, the wonder worker? What about all those who wanted to have their disabilities healed? Those who wanted to see again who were blind? Did they just miss out? That's what Jesus is addressing here. Jesus recognized not everyone got healed in the first century. And today, not everyone gets healed. There's pain, there's suffering, there's ailments among us. And while the power of death, of course, has been cosmically defeated on the cross, and the new creation is already present, we paradoxically also live in the world of weakness and pain, what Paul called the present evil age. And it leads us to ask, so did we miss Jesus' powerful works? Was Jesus here just for a brief time healing, and we just weren't at the right place at the right time? Jesus is preparing the disciples and us for this. Jesus says about that person they didn't meet, someone who was not one of their groups, but he was doing powerful actions. The disciples didn't like it. And then Jesus says something significant. No one is able to do a work of power and then quickly to speak evil of me. The term there, be able, there's more to it than it sounds. It's actually the same root word as work of power. You see, the one doing those external acts, those powers externally, it's not about the external, but what those things were doing internally to that one. The one who had done a powerful thing is not able internally able to curse Jesus. It's less about what one does externally as being what is done to oneself internally. Caring for others, is healing others, is not about what it means for them, but what it also means for us. But here we are, Jesus, in the same space. This is another person doing works of power, which we don't seem to be able to do. Someone doing an exorcism, a healing. And that leads us, did we miss out? And then the critical verse, Jesus says, I'll tell you what that kind of power really looks like. And he says, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. A work of power? No. Just offering a cup of water. It turns out what really matters isn't the great powerful deed of healing at all, but what was happening inside of us while we were doing it. The person offering a cup of water, this one who is embodying and being Christ. Jesus says, those who are not against us are with us. All those who can offer a cup of water to another. And that act of service is also an act of spiritual growth. The disciples were sure that to be a follower, one had to do powerful things and be members of their own group. And Jesus says, not only is it not about being part of that particular group, but the point of the works of power were never the external. They're the internal. And this leads Jesus to talk about the disciples. Those with withered hands, those who can't walk, those who can't see. Jesus isn't in this discussion warning people about the evils of sin. He's saying, it's better to be someone who is weak than to be proud, expecting to do works of power. Why? Because Jesus is saying, I am there above with you. All of you who feel so feeble and dependent, God is there too. The service of Christ in our world isn't always about the powerful, but instead it's actually usually about those in pain. They came to Jesus hoping to be healed and had to ask, did we miss out? Jesus answers, by no means. This cup of water is for you. My presence is among you. You are mine. Amen.